Oh, that's right. We are right here in the beautiful studios of WCRS. Barbara Warner, a nurse navigator, has her another business. I mean, she came here to retire. I don't exactly understand this. She came here to live out there at the lake and retire with her husband, and she's been working ever since. How you doing today, Barbara Warner?
I am great. Thanks, Ann.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I wanted to just mention is about nurse navigators. I mean, you actually taught at Clemson.
I did, and I kind of still am a little.
Oh, you still are? I thought you retired from that job.
There is that, yes.
Keep calling you back, huh?
That's it. No, yeah. I'm doing a clinical with psych students this summer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's great. That keeps you young, right?
I guess, hopefully. Getting up at 4:30 in the morning, I don't know if that's going to keep me young or not. We'll have to test it this summer.
Well, you have done so much, and you definitely believe that people can do a lot to heal themselves by
absolutely
their mind. I just want to tell this quick story. I had broken my shoulder, and you came on the radio, and we sat down and talked, and I was telling you about how it was bothering me, and you said, well, Ann, you just need to think about your shoulder knitting, and you need to spend some time meditating on that knitting of the shoulder. I went back to the orthopedic, and he goes, well, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be anything there. And he was questioning whether his x-rays had been good. Yes, that's right, because he was like, this is impossible. So I firmly believe that your mind has amazing capabilities.
It does, yes. As long as your body is kind of in a place where it can work for you. Stress hormones work against us, sadly.
Yeah.
And we are a society full of stress hormones. And so as long as our body is in that place where it can heal,
right,
it will work toward that.
And so one of the things that you and your partner came up with was a class on mindfulness.
Yes.
Yes.
That is one of the free ways to reduce your stress and help your body heal. It is something that has kind of gone across the country in boardrooms and football teams and hospitals. Sadly, not nearly enough in the medical profession because there's tremendous potential. So what Judy Markell, my business partner, and I have done is we have set up mindfulness-based self-care courses that we teach. We've taught some at Mann and Maxwell. We are now teaching them in our lake location, so that will be a little bit more relaxing and things. So we're going to see how that goes. We have really enjoyed it. It's a course that we've started. We have also put the same course online.
So there's a lot of ways to help yourself. Right. And, you know,
yes,
the body can heal itself a lot better than sometimes we believe it can.
Well, yes. When I would teach my students, because I started an integrative medicine course for students at Clemson, and this is holistic medicine, which is the kind of thing that the regular medical model that's taught in nursing schools and medical schools doesn't really touch on very completely, at least not enough to get a buy-in.
Right.
So I taught the course, and one of the first things I told the students was we were engineered as a body to heal ourselves. However, what has happened in our society, and many societies don't think this way, but our Western medicine thinks this way, you spend your days, spend your life kind of battering up the body, eating the wrong foods, never exercising, doing the wrong things, and then taking it to a doctor and saying, fix it.
Isn't there something you can give me for this?
Exactly.
Yep.
Quickly,
yeah,
yesterday.
Quickly. Yeah, exactly. I don't have time for this. Yeah.
So we have been reduced, sadly, to pretty much pills and surgeries. Now, I am a proponent of surgeries. I have two new hips. There's nothing wrong with surgeries. But there are things that can be done to prevent a lot of things.
That's right. So I just wanted to bring that up because that's another thing you do, Barbara Warner.
Ah, yes.
But you know, I think being busy is good for the soul, good for the mind.
Oh, absolutely. I think so. I mean, that is the key to health, I think, is continuing to move. I was telling someone the other day, I went to a luncheon and sat with a young lady of 90 years old who was as bubbly as I am, or more so, and her youthful younger friend of 85 was sitting across from us and said, well, hell, whoops. This is good.
This is good.
Potential. Continue to be out there. Continue to move. Continue to have interest. Certainly continue to have friends.
Yeah. And that's just to diverge onto something else, because we got plenty of time to talk. That's where things like Meals on Wheels is such a great program, because it gives that human interaction with somebody for at least 10 or 15 minutes where somebody could be sitting alone a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I had a friend who lived here for a while and got Meals on Wheels. It was many times the only physical contact he had with anybody for days.
Right. Days. So, and we are people that are supposed to be talking to, being around other people. We're not supposed to be in this bubble. And I think that's part of the problem. You know, we say we have social media.
Ooh.
You know,
don't get me on that one.
No, on computers and everything, but that's not human interaction. It may seem like it is, but it's not the same as sitting across from somebody and talking to them.
Absolutely not. I don't remember if I ever told you this, but I was sitting in Aromas one day and watching this loving young couple drinking their coffee, holding hands, and looking at their phones.
Were they communicating back and forth? Through their phone? I've seen that a lot. Oh, did you see this? Check this out. Let me send it to you.
Yes. Yeah. And that is definitely not, it's really not social. Yeah. I don't get it particularly, but you know, I'm old. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that they talk about is screen time. This is a big thing that's just come out in the news. Screen time for little ones.
Oof.
That should not, you know, less than an hour a day. And look at how many kids sit in front of, used to be mom sat you in front of a TV. Now she hands you her phone, or you have your own device, and you sit there and are just involved in that.
I have a daughter in Atlanta who has twin boys who are 5, and they don't get phones. They don't get to play with mom's phone. They do plop in front of the television from time to time, but they are ushered outside. They do scooters. They play with all the children running around the neighborhood. And she is adamant about the phone thing. So I thought, yes.
Yeah. Yes. But I mean, so many people aren't. So if you have children or grandchildren, think about some of those things. And if you haven't talked to somebody in a while, pick up that phone and give them a call. It's therapeutic.
Absolutely. The phone call with a voice at the other end is much better than a text.
Yeah.
Much better.
You know, texts are fine if you're just, we'll meet at 5.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, but to people that carry on these long, drawn-out conversations, or in Messenger on Facebook, same type of thing. So I guess that could lead us into what's going on with pottery and why you're involved in pottery. I understand that you used to do pottery before you came to Greenwood.
I did. I did it about 4 years in Atlanta. And then when my husband and I moved to Greenwood, to the lake, and built our house. He's a car guy, so he had part of the house kind of dedicated to his cars, several garages and lifts and things like that. And I got one of the nice rooms, which with a great view of the lake, for my pottery. And I have a kiln, and I have a slab roller, and I put in, now I have a wheel and tables. I'm ready to go. Yeah. But then I didn't do anything for 3 years because I taught full-time at Clemson from the day I got here. Actually, for months before I even got here.
Yeah. So did you go in that room and go, God, I got to get in here? Or did it bother you that you weren't able to do that?
It did bother me. I felt guilty, but I also had this business of my creativity not being able to be motivated, be moved, nothing. I'd go down there and I'd look at the stuff and I'd go, okay. And Larry was kind of subtle too. You know, when are you going to use this stuff? You know, you paid for it.
Yeah.
Clays and glazes and everything. I was ready.
You were ready. Mm-hmm. So what's the favorite thing you like to do when you're creating in your pottery?
Actually, my favorite is to do work with coils. And I build Native American style pieces. I worked for 12 years, or I studied for 12 years with a Native American medicine woman and shaman. And I really felt connected to the nature aspect of that and all of the things that the aspects of nature represent. Mm-hmm. And so I like to bring that into the pots. And so the pots kind of create themselves in size and shape. And then I embellish them with feathers and stones. My father was out in Arizona and did a lot of lapidary work. I have tons of his stones that are as cabs or as just tumbled stones. So I am attempting to put all of that together so that nature can speak through my pots.
That's cool.
That's what I like. We're not in an area where the Southwest decor is rampant.
Right. That's true.
But so I do create a lot of other different style things. I don't like to do production pottery. I like things to be different. I don't really like to make something more than once or twice. Mm-hmm. I have not settled into a style that I would say is my style, except that it's different. I try to be different most of the time.
You accomplished that from my perspective, Barbara. I've known you for several years, and you accomplished trying to be a little different.
You
go to
totally.
Your own beat. Yes, you go to your own beat. You do need things. You're even into spirit animals, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, power animals. This was part of my training.
Yeah.
Actually, interesting when I say training, my training as a nurse clinical specialist, where I was a psychotherapist in Atlanta, was also in hypnotherapy. And then I became connected to this Native American path. We call it the Red Path. I worked for 12 years with that. And during that time, one of the first things we do is learn to meet our power animal. Now, spirit animals and spirit totems, animal totems are a little different. They're animals that kind of come to us during our walk in this life and give us messages, whatever. I have several that have kind of been around a lot in my life. But the power animal is the one that the belief system is that we're born with this power animal. Mm-hmm. And it stays the same during our whole life. Walks with us to help us realize when we're feeling powerless or down or depressed, whatever, or anxious, that we have power. And when we can connect with that personal strength and power, that animal is kind of the embodiment of that. So we can look to that animal and realize, Now, I know you're going to laugh when I tell you what my power animal is.
No, what's your power?
Sure you will.
Yeah.
A cougar. Don't laugh. Stop. But it's
Barbara's power animal is a cougar. Okay, folks. This is about to get real interesting. Go for it, Barbara.
Yes. Sadly, the cougar has had a whole different meaning, but to me, the power animal
is... To me, it means I am pretty. I am pretty.
No, it is truly the cougar. the nice big cat of the Southwest. And when you look at the characteristics of that animal, it really kind of hit me that that's who I am. That's kind of how I...
Like what walk. Characteristics?
Well, the cougar is kind of a leader.
Right.
Somewhat of a lone animal. And I'm not a loner, but I love people. But this one, you know, the cougar is very protective. Mm-hmm. She can be very powerful. She can be a kitten. She can be like a kitten and playful. Mm-hmm. But when she wants to have her way, she's fairly out there and fairly definite and roar about it,
and
you know.
Roars about it.
Roars
yes.
about it. So what I've done too, I've done some courses at Main and Maxwell, or little class hats, let's call them, to help people to get in touch with their own power animals. And I've done that through the years. I did it with all of my students at Clemson that I taught. And what it seems to portray to me is almost a Native American Myers-Briggs. It's like, this is my personality. I have that cougar personality. Someone else may have a deer personality. Someone else may have a lion personality. Actually, Larry has a lion personality, and it's quite interesting how we interact.
A lion and a cougar.
Yes. He's strong enough to handle my cougar.
Right.
And we tend to go rah rah at each other a lot. Sometimes the kids don't like that, but what are you going to do with a couple of big cats?
Right.
But it also helps you to understand if you're, say, in a business situation and your colleague is a deer, you may live side by side or work side by side, but if you get your cougar up, let's say, sometime over a situation, the deer may actually freeze in the headlights kind of thing, which would stop the, let's say, work environment or the work process. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to see that that dynamic can happen. And Myers-Briggs would show the same type of thing. You know, the test that we used to take, personality tests in corporate America, where to find out if you're more inclined to be a feeler, a thinker, that kind of thing.
How do you discover your spirit, your power animal, excuse me?
We take a journey. I lead a journey with the drum.
With the drum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A drumming journey. And then I guide that. And then you, it's really important to kind of be open to whatever, let's say, drops in, the way I say it, whatever kind of comes to you. Hmm. And people have had some very interesting experiences. I've done it at Mann & Maxwell a number of times.
Okay, so if somebody would like to get in touch with their power animal, this would be something to watch for at Mann & Maxwell then, yes?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep,
you'll
yep.
be probably doing it again sometime?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, well, power animals and life, you know, there are, as I said, so many ways to deal with things in this world mm-hmm. that doesn't require a pill.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think, you know, I think that's a part of what this is about, is how to deal with your, how to deal with yourself.
Oh, absolutely. When a person is down, let's say, and they can spend some time just kind of, well, I can say meditating or just breathing and thinking about, well, wait a minute, you know, a while ago I discovered that I was a bear. My power animal was a bear.
So I'll just go hibernate and not worry about it.
Well, seriously, that maybe this business of my pulling back right now is necessary for me to regain my strength.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a good time, rather than being critical of myself for isolating. Now then, the bear also comes out of that stronger. So one needs to realize that they do. They must come out of that, but then claim the fact that they are a big, powerful animal.
So, now, are all animals, I mean, can your power animal be a fish, or is, I'm just asking.
Your power animal can be anything, yes.
Anything,
yes.
Okay.
In fact, I have a friend.
Yes.
Whose power animal was a turtle.
A turtle.
A turtle.
Okay.
Now, she was not thrilled with being a turtle.
Yes.
I don't want to be a turtle. I said, Diane, you are exactly a turtle.
Put your head in your shell.
Yes. Yes. Whenever.
You retreat from the world.
Yes, yes. When things got bad, she pulled into a nice hard shell, which was a protection place.
Wow.
You know, so it's interesting to realize that some of these things, when under stress, for instance, my cougar comes out with a roar. Not necessarily a pretty sight for me to be, expressing that way.
Right.
But that's. I have to realize that that is part of that essence in myself.
Wow. It is interesting how all these different aspects, the Indian, all the different aspects of culture across the world mm-hmm. can be brought together into something to understand ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's been as much a growing experience for me to be teaching about integrative medicine, because we explore all of the different cultures and all of their different medical practices. And it's been very eye-opening to learn the things that are so different, but yet at the base, at the very core, completely the same.
Now, just for the record, what how does the medical field embrace this?
Some places it is embraced completely.
Right.
Some are reluctant. Some would say, like your doctor might have said, oh, something's wrong with the x-rays.
Yeah, no, you can't do this to yourself, Ann. No. Let's take another x-ray. Go ahead.
Go ahead. That's right.
You'll find the same thing again. Yeah. All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the pottery tour. It's been on a hiatus for the last couple, 3 years. When we come back, we're going to talk about that. My very special guest this morning is Barbara Warner. So I hope you're going to stay tuned right here with us. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Don't you go away. Andy, take it away. The antique vintager has arrived in Greenwood. He's been in Greenwood, but he's been incognito. Now unveiled for the very first time, the antique vintager, the one and only Jeff Eller, is debuting on the national stage with his podcast. Shouldn't you be one of the first to come in and see him and see what you have with What's It Worth? Can you sell it? Do you want to sell it? And should you sell it? Only the antique vintager can tell you such things. So come and see us at 637 Durst Avenue East. Call first for your appointment. 864-229-6613. The antique vintager, Jeff Eller, is in the building. Oh, that's
with a lift.
Yeah, golf cart. All right, we're right back here at the studios of WCRS. My very special guest is Barbara Warner. I think am I right on this? You're the president of GASP.
I am, and we need to have it spelled out. Right. The acronym is a little sad.
Yes,
it's Greenwood Area Studio Potters. Yes, Greenwood
GASP. It's not on its last gasp, is it?
No, it was for a while, but it's back.
It's back. That's it's back. Right. So, what was the impetus to bring it back? The pottery trail that we're talking about today.
Well, and we at GASP started this Heritage Trail pottery tour back in, I believe it was probably 2012. We were in it for 5 years, and then for the next 2 years, we did not have but one studio that was going to be able to participate, and that was Partners. And so they elected to go down and take their things to Edgefield. Mm-hmm. So for the 2 years of 2017 and 18, Edgefield was the primary had primary locations. This year, as president of GASP, I looked around and I realized Main and Maxwell has clay classes. The Art Center has begun to have clay classes, both hand building and wheel work. Mm-hmm. Partners has had clay classes for individuals. And we have an excellent ceramic artist and professor at Lander who has her own studio. So I suggested that perhaps we have so much clay participation and interest here in Greenwood, we need this tour back here as well. So we are back in it this year. So there will be 4 studios here in Greenwood and 4 in Edgefield.
That's pretty cool. And if I remember correctly, I think Donna Boasian was a big impetus on the...
Absolutely. She was one of the founding members of GASP, and she was one of the founding members, I'm sure, of the tour. She and Laura Bashinsky and others, whom I'm not even going to try to name because I was thinking about it today, and I thought, I'm going to miss somebody.
Yeah. But, and Donna Boasian sure is missed, oof, particularly in the arts community, because she always was, she was the idea bunny.
She was the idea bunny, and she was the ever ready bunny, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
And always coming up with excellent ideas, and of course, just made such a difference in our community. And you just wonder where the arts would be if it hadn't been for the vision of Donna.
Yes, and she's definitely missed. She left a great legacy, and she had her hands in a lot of different pots, literally.
Yeah.
But you know, with the Art Center and with Empty Bowls and all those things that she was definitely a part of.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit. Now, this is going to be Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
And
yep.
How does this work?
Well, it is free. You get in your car.
Yes. And I've seen the signs all around the town here.
Well, good. I hope you have.
Yep. I've been saying, I bet Barbara put those up.
Yeah. Not all of them. I've had some help.
But
no, we have the 4 studios here in Greenwood.
Okay.
I will mention our passport system, and then we can talk about the tour of the different studios themselves. We have what we call a passport, and it's a piece of paper that you can get stamped at each studio. If you are able to get all eight studios stamped on your passport, your passport will go in a drawing for a pot, a jug made by Pam Cadlick, who is down in Edgefield, and it has a turkey on the front. It's on a lot of our flyers, so if anyone's seen those, that's the passport prize. Anyway, so if you start here in Greenwood, you can elect to start at Sandy's, which is over behind...
It's on Brick Street,
It
right?
is on Brick Street, somewhere behind Lander off
206,
Laurel.
206 Briggs Avenue.
Mm-hmm. That one, there should be signs. They have signs the students are going to be putting out. This is where Sandy Singletary, who is the professor at Lander, and she will have 5-6 students and one of her graduates with her. So I'm excited to go look at that one. I get to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, and well, that's tomorrow, but that's because you're on the pre-tour.
Yeah. Sadly, there's not a pre-tour, but we will all pretty much be available to each other tomorrow as we set up.
Right.
But sadly, we can't. When we're working at our studios on Saturday and Sunday, we can't go see everybody else. So I'm going to sneak around tomorrow and...
Okay. But on Saturday, now, what will you be able to see at Sandy's studio? Will people actually be working in the pottery?
I'm not sure what she is going to be doing in that studio.
But are some of them going to be working?
That's what I'm not sure of. I'm not sure if they're going to actually be working at her studio.
No, but at other studios.
At other studios, they're planning to do some demoing at the Art Center. Mm-hmm. And I doubt that they'll be doing any work at Partners.
Okay.
They will have probably a lot of their things set up for purchase. And you can go into the center and see their working area. Mm-hmm. Where I will be with four other artists is in the studio area of Mann and Maxwell, which you access off of Maxwell Avenue. And in the basement, oh, darn, I hate to say basement. I prefer saying the studios of Mann and Maxwell.
Right, yes.
But anyways, down there is where there are two artists who have their active studios, and one or two of them may be doing some throwing. I plan to bring some clay work to do coil work to demo some of that.
So it's a good opportunity. Now, is this an adult event, or can we bring the kids, or what's the deal?
Interesting that you are talking about the kids.
Yes.
Definitely adults are certainly welcome. Kids are too. There will probably be things that are of interest to them, seeing some of this and maybe even getting some hands on and getting a little dirty with some clay, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But children also can, from the Art Center and Mann and Maxwell, between the two of us, we're going to have a drawing for clay camp this summer. The Art Center has donated, as part of our grant process, the opportunity for a student to... take a clay clamp, get a clay camp scholarship.
Wow.
So if the students come, if the kids come, that's one thing that they'll have an option.
To register for. Mm-hmm. So tell me just how interested are people in pottery in our community?
Well, I'll tell you, I think it's certainly grown. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people who want to learn how to do it. A lot of them haven't quite come to the place of, I'm going to open my own studio. Mm-hmm. But there are full classes at Mann and Maxwell and at Partners and at the Art Center for adults doing this. Also, the Art Center has children's programs too. So, and like I said before off the air here, I took a class from Sandy Singletary at Lander when she first arrived, because when you're a certain age, you can do it for free. I'm at that age.
If the class isn't full, right?
If the class isn't full, but they have been full.
Yeah.
So you talk about interest. There's tremendous interest, and it's growing.
Yeah. Did just out of curiosity, do they play during these classes? Do they play the theme music from Ghost?
Oh, he's never around when I'm doing the wheel. Patrick Swayze. No, he's never there.
I just wondered if, because that could probably interest a lot of people in getting into pottery, man.
Yes, unfortunately, at least for me, it's not quite that that sensual yet.
Sensual. Okay. All right. So now on Saturday morning down there in Edgefield, they're going to be opening a kiln. They've done this for years where they pack it, and it's actually in the ground. It's not inside. Isn't it outside in the ground? The groundhog type deal?
It's called a groundhog kiln. It is a building, and they kind of pack this thing, and then they keep it fired with logs or whatever. I've not actually been to the groundhog kiln. Mm-hmm. I've been to some different kinds of ones.
Right.
But then they will, the people who have, or the potters who have their wares in there will be there when it's open, and I believe you can even buy at that point, mm-hmm. or at least
you can buy
it. Say, I want that, and they take it to their studio for you.
Well, that's a cool idea, because a lot of people don't know how it actually happens, which is what I think is pretty interesting about the pottery tour, is to see different aspects of it, mm-hmm. and to see that it is something that you can actually do.
Exactly.
A human can make pottery.
Well, what's interesting, well, human can make pottery. Native Americans have been doing it with a lot of our clay for a long time. But it's interesting that we have a lot of clay here. And when you try to plant your wonderful grass or your flowers, you realize how much clay we have.
Red clay, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Now, we had a fella here, I think he's left, but he came from, I believe, Ohio, a young man, who came down here because we have a lot of natural clay. Mm-hmm. And he would dig his clay from the side of the road, clean it up a bit, create something, and fire it up.
Wow.
Yes. So.
Wow. Well, and Edgefield is such an interesting area to do that now. Now, they used to have a pottery school down there with Piedmont Tech. Are they still? I don't think they're doing that anymore.
No, that closed.
Yeah. That's a shame.
It is a shame. For me, it didn't matter. I taught at Clemson. I would drive an hour and 15 minutes home and say, I cannot go down there to Piedmont Tech, and I did not do Piedmont Tech. But it certainly jump-started a lot of pottery in both of our towns.
Exactly.
Yep.
And, of course, you have the Edgefield pottery, very famous pottery that came out of that of Edgefield. So.
Right. And it is still maintained by Justin Guy. He's down there, and he will be in that little pottery studio, that the old-time one that is kind of historic for the tour.
Yeah. So it's going to be a good way to get out, take the kids, and it's nice that it's on Sunday, because so many of our activities, Saturday, Friday, boom. This would be a nice relaxing tour that you could do on Sunday. You don't have to do it in any order. You can hit or miss as many as you like.
Yes, absolutely. And it's free.
Free, right.
We are going to have cookies at ours.
Oh, okay. Which one are you at, Barbara?
Main and Maxwell.
So, okay, Main and Maxwell. Okay, they're going to have cookies over there. So Saturday, it is, what are the hours on Saturday?
Saturday, we are there from 10 to 5. Okay. And on Sunday, we're there from noon to 5.
So if you would really like to take the kids, I think kids, grandkids, this is a great program. If maybe in school you dabbled in pottery or something, and maybe you're thinking you'd like to get back to it, this would be an excellent time to feel it, see it. And with Mother's Day coming up, what a great time to be able to buy something unique in pottery.
Well, that's exactly the truth. Now, a lot of people love pottery as gifts. You don't have to know what a person likes. Often just some small pottery gift is wonderful. And I would say we probably could have things ranging from $5 to $10 all the way up to $150 or more.
Right. And I've talked to many potters and many people who say there's something about having their morning coffee in that pottery cup that they bought or maybe they made or something, and it just feels nice and feels much more tactile than having it in this styrofoam cup that I have over here.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, no, absolutely. And there are a myriad of different types of things out there. There's things that children might want to buy. Mm-hmm. There are things that you might want to buy for your mom. And they're just wedding gifts, all sorts of wonderful things.
That's
and
right.
That mug that you're talking about.
Right. Well, I mean, I just have heard people say that, and it's true. I've got some at home that are my favorite, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, my problem is I don't use them because I'm afraid something will happen to them.
They're probably stronger than that ceramic thing you bought at with all of your other dishes.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But still, you know, I some of these things I really treasure. I always love empty bowls and getting being able to pick out that bowl. And some of them, Jeff has his soup in every day. And, you know, it's just something that brings back nice memories when you think about where it came from and everything.
Absolutely. This whole empty bowls thing, you ask about pottery growing. We had a tremendous amount of bowls that we were able to collect for this past empty bowls back in October.
Wow.
It's fabulous.
Yeah. And then you're able to sell them and be able to raise more money for empty bowls, which, of course, goes to help the soup kitchen. And where would the soup kitchen be without the empty bowls and how that came about? I mean, and the dollars, the thing that blows my mind away about any of these things. You know, back in the day, if something did $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000, woo, that was huge. Mm-hmm. Now these things do $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. It's just phenomenal. Right. The growth.
Right. And there are donors that contribute to that.
Right.
So that helps.
Sponsors. Yeah.
But we have a lot of ceramic artists donating bowls, and we have a lot of woodworkers, we had glass workers, basket people, we had students from Lander, so we really...
You had a lot of bowls.
Lots of good bowls.
Oh, yep. That's cool. Hey, Andy, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Don't you go away. My very special guest is Barbara Warner.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood today.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, headed towards the top of the hour. My very special guest today, Barbara Warner. I hope you've enjoyed the show here this morning. We want everybody to know about all the things that go on in Greenwood. And for a small community, Barbara, now you came from Atlanta, we really have a lot going on.
Oh, yes. I remember I was supposed to be retired.
Right. Yeah, and then she volunteered for one little project, and look at her now. She's the president of GASP, Greenwood Area Potters. What is it?
Greenwood Area Studio Potters.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, look. See, so if you want to volunteer, by God, you can be a president, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, let's talk a little bit. Now, I mean, I have seen some signs around here about food, you know, food... are they giving something away at the food on
well,
this?
Well, sadly, they're not giving away food, but we have food sponsors mm-hmm. for our tour.
Right.
And they have donated funds for us to be able to do this tour.
Right.
And what we then do is we like to advertise for them. We like to encourage people to, as they're running around uptown and driving around town, to eat at these places. And also, when you go in and eat there, mention that, oh, yeah, we're here because of the pottery tour.
That's right.
And we have three food sponsors for this heritage tour. Mm-hmm. One is Montague's.
Okay.
The other is Millhouse, and then Howard's on Main. So they're all pretty much uptown.
Right.
So you could park your car and have a little bit to eat. You could maybe even have breakfast and then see a couple of the tours. You've got the Art Center. You've got us down.
There's a lot going on
Absolutely.
Saturday. Yeah.
And then you've got the market down there, and then
arts
you
and
can
crafts,
come back
yeah.
up to have hot dogs. And if you want to walk around a little bit more, you can come back in town and eat dinner at Mill House or
sure. So it's a great opportunity to enjoy the whole ambiance of Greenwood.
Absolutely.
You know,
there is a lot going on
absolutely.
In this town. Yes,
it is. And of course, I mean, we've got the uptown component right here in Greenwood. Then over there, right near Lander at 206 Briggs Street, they're going to be meeting over there at Sandy Singletary's studio, right?
Yes.
So you can wander over there, and she'll be on the tour both days, Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from noon to 5. Then Partners in Clay, that's over there at Wyatt Farms. Great environment over there. So after you do Uptown, Sandy's, and Partners in Clay. But if you say, I can't do all of them, pick out which ones you'd like to see. And then if you're up for a road trip, head on over there to Edgefield.
Yeah, absolutely. You could do one city one day and one the next, and then have your passport full for your chance to win the jug.
That's right. So, and it's a beauty. Now, we need to talk about Pam a little bit. I have actually interviewed Pam for Empty Bowls.
Yep.
And one of the things that she's real famous for, if you go over there, one of her studio is on the tour. You might want to take a picture of your dog.
Yes.
Because?
Yes. Pam has the ability to put your dog on one of her mugs. She could put it on probably any piece of pottery, right. But she generally does the mugs. And they're not super expensive. And suddenly now you have your dog in stone, literally, forever.
That's right. That's right. So, but yeah, she does beautiful work.
She does.
She does
absolutely
beautiful work. And so that is over there, 79 Wood Duck Drive over there, 720 Plum Branch Road, right off of that over there in Edgefield. So if you are going to go over to Edgefield and you're thinking about that, you might want to take a picture and let her take a look at it and give you a price. It's a lot easier than saying, oh, I wish I'd known that, right?
Absolutely. Now, yeah. I did the same thing. I didn't take the picture. I did email it to her. So if you do forget your picture,
right,
it's still a possibility.
So.
And she's right, I wouldn't say between. She's closer to Edgefield. But on your way between Greenwood to the Edgefield studios, you have to stop at Pam's.
Right. Okay. And, of course, she has those Boykin? Yes.
Yes.
Boykin Spaniels, South Carolina's dog. And she told me her dogs were much smarter than my Gracie, which was a little contentious since Gracie was sitting there going, what are you doing talking about me that way? Anyways, that was a lot of fun. That was when we were over there at Sharp Facets. So, anything else in closing here, Barbara, you'd like to tell us before we close out here?
Just encourage people to come out and just, if it's raining, my husband insists that they'll really want to be out there. So, come on down. We're nice environments. You can just browse. You can meet potters. You can learn about clay. We can answer any questions you have.
And a great learning tool for children.
A chance to have a scholarship for your child, too.
That's right. So, you know, everybody's going to be looking for camps, and more camps for kids. So this is a great opportunity as far as that goes. So we are just about out of time. Barbara Warner, nurse navigator, woman extraordinaire, thank you so much for coming by and chatting with us this morning.
And I always enjoy talking to you.
Yeah, we get into trouble every once in a while, don't we? We have a good time, and that's what it's all about. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Y'all have a blessed day. This is the end of the show. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye, Barbara.
Bye.